Now, I have a question this morning, and I want you to consider this really seriously. Do not call out your answers, okay? Just think about this, okay? You ready for it? Here comes the question. Serious question, I want you to think about it, okay? Ever in your whole lifetime, did you ever want to call down fire from heaven to consume someone who stood in your way? Now, I know, see, I'm looking out there, and some of you have these really sweet looks on your faces. If you went outside, you'd melt into a pool of sugar, okay? You want me to believe that you never had a moment in your whole life when you ever wanted to do that, don't you? Mm-hmm. And I do believe that there are some of you present in the room today who are just that sweet, in danger of melting before Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But there are others of us here. And man, we have had those moments when some obstacle stood in our way. And we were ready to call down fire from heaven to consume that obstacle, no matter whom it may have been. Right? Come on, Joanne. I mean, at least in the first service, Cynthia was back there and she called out, yes, when I said that, okay? I mean, come on. You all know that you've had those moments when you just want God to burn up that obstacle that is in your way. And it can be a human one. Now I understand that none of us have ever come to the place that the disciples were in the Bible passage which Rick just read to you this morning. I mean, see, there they were, James and John, okay? And they were so upset with what was going on that day about which the Bible speaks that they wanted to call down fire from heaven, not to consume just one or two people. They wanted to burn up a whole village. What? Imagine the lightning it would take to burn up a whole village of people. Some of you want to find out how much lightning it would take, don't you? You're right there with me. You want to go try this. Hey, burning up a whole village, does that sound cool or what? But the truth is, none of us, because we're all good holy people, none of us ever get so angry that we would want to see a whole village of people destroyed. But that is exactly where James and John, disciples of Jesus Christ, were on the day about which Rick read to you. Now, the situation was this. Jesus had resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Understand that Jesus knew what lay before him in Jerusalem. He understood that he would be betrayed there, that he would be crucified, that he would die, that he would be buried and lie dead in the tomb for 3 days and then rise triumphantly over death on the third day. He knew that. All of it. Jesus knew that this was the Father's plan to bring salvation to the likes of you and me. And though he knew that it would cause him great pain personally and would in essence mean he had to lay down his life, knowing all of that, Jesus was determined to play his part in God's plan. So at that very moment in time, at that very day, he set out for Jerusalem to do that which was required of him as the only begotten Son of God. He went to Jerusalem determined to do God's will. He was determined. Now, the scripture is very clear that even though Jesus had tried to inform his disciples about what would happen to him when he got to Jerusalem, they were blockheads. Dumb. They had not understood any of what Jesus had told them. Now, later on, they would remember what Jesus had said, how he had told them about the events that were going to happen to him when he got there. And then the prophecy that he had made to them that they did not understand would be recalled, and it would suddenly make sense to them. They would go, oh my goodness, he was talking about that. But at this moment in time, they did not have a clue. They didn't understand what the events they were living through would eventually mean to them, to you and me, and to the entire world. They just did not understand what was about to unfold. But they did sense Jesus' urgency about going to Jerusalem. As it was Passover, they probably thought that Jesus wanted to eat the Passover in Jerusalem, which is the dream of every Jew, to eat the Passover once in the holy city. They probably thought that he wanted to go there for that. And they were determined to go there with him without understanding at all the significance of what going there would mean. They wanted to go there with Jesus because they understood that it was important to Jesus and they loved Jesus. So because it was in their power to give him what he wanted and they loved him, they were determined that they would help Jesus accomplish his plan. He was determined to go to Jerusalem. And because they could give him what he wanted, they were determined to help him. It happened that the shortest route from where they were to the holy city Jerusalem was through a region of Israel called Samaria. The Samaritans were Jews who had made friends with one of the armies that was invading Israel way back when, before the birth or coming of Jesus. They had allowed their daughters to marry the soldiers who were invading Israel. And so, good Jews, full-blooded Jews, looked down their long Jewish noses at the half-breed Samaritans. And the Samaritans returned the favor. They refused to welcome Jews who insisted that worship in the temple was where they needed to worship because the Samaritans declared that to be sacrilege. So often when full-blooded Jews tried to travel south through Samaria to reach Jerusalem, the people of Samaria would abuse them and refuse to give them shelter in any of their villages simply because these people were Jews who were traveling to Jerusalem to worship. And that is exactly what happened to Jesus. He determined to go to Jerusalem via the shortest route through Samaria. He sent some of his disciples, apparently James and John, ahead to make arrangements for the group to stay in Samaria overnight. But at the first village where they tried to make such arrangements, they ran into a group of Samaritans who were staunchly biased against Jews. These people refused to allow Jesus' group to stay in their village just because they were Jewish and were going to Jerusalem to worship. Now this enraged James and John. In Mark chapter 3 verse 17, James and John are called the sons of thunder. Okay, apparently they had explosive tempers. And when they got angry, those tempers boiled over and out came loud outburst. In anger, they said to Jesus, "Let us show him, Jesus. We just call down some lightning from heaven and burn up the whole village." They wanted to call down fire from heaven to strike and destroy a whole village of people for rejecting Jesus. It's just another one of them great days for the disciples, folks. If there was ever a group that had captured the heart and mind of Jesus, it was his disciples. They truly understood the nature of Jesus. Just burn him up. I'm being sarcastic, you realize. But Jesus said to him, hey guys, no. Shake the dust off your feet and move on. It's Luke chapter 9, verse 5. Now this is one of those stories from the Bible that it is a preacher's dream. Short. Not hard to read. No big names. Just a couple of verses. But boy, is it packed full of stuff. You ready? Here they come. The lessons from the text of today. Lesson number one. Jesus was resolute about doing the will of the Father. He was absolutely determined to do what God called him to do. Nothing could divert him from his God-given mission. He was resolved to live out God's plan for his life, no matter what it might cost him personally or otherwise. And he sets the example for us. No matter what it may cost us personally or otherwise, we should be resolved to live out God's plan and follow the teachings of his book, no matter what. No matter what, you and me must let our faith influence our living. We must be resolute to do the will of God as he has laid it out before us in his word, because that is the example that Jesus Christ, our Lord, sets before us. We must be resolved to do the will of the Father. You got it? Lesson number two, racial bigotry has no place among us. God's children cannot be divided by the color of our skin or the slant of our eyes or the accent with which we speak English. We cannot exclude from our company those who belong to Christ but do not look like us or agree with us. We are brothers and sisters. Even if we do not look alike, speak alike, or even agree with each other. We are brothers and sisters made so by the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, and that is the thickest blood of all blood. In Christ, there is no Greek or Jew. There is no male or female. There is no freedman or slave. Christ has made us one body, one family, one faith, and we must allow no division between us. Now I'm going to get political. You ready? If you are a white person and you are intending to go to the polls a week from Tuesday and vote for Mitt Romney because he is a white man, God forgive you. And I'm going over to the other side now. If you are a black person and you are going to the polls next Tuesday to vote for Barack Obama because he is a black person, God forgive you. We cannot vote the color of our skin. As I said to you in the announcement time, we must vote the book. We cannot allow racial tensions, eye slants, accents to divide us. Whether we agree or not, there must be no division among us because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Lesson number three, beware of too much thunder. We need to learn to control our anger. For sometimes, in anger, we say to each other that which should not be said and which is not pleasing to God. Anger sometimes sets the tongue in motion and brings about things said which cannot be recalled. Anger sometimes forces us to curl our fist and to lash out, calling down fire from heaven. to destroy those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Anger sometimes causes us to use the authority and power which God has trusted to us to abuse others rather than to lift up and help the people of God, the people of our families, our brothers and sisters, the people we love. God forbid that any of us should be called the sons of thunder rather than be known as the children of God. And lesson number 4, as far as it is possible with us, we should live at peace with all men. Jesus sets the example in the story before us. When they want to call down lightning from heaven to burn up the village, Jesus says, no. And he shakes the dust off his feet, folks. He will not remain in the problem. He will not abide the abuse. He will not live in the moment. He gets over it and moves on. I had a conference on Friday, and a lady said to me in the conference, she said, you know, the greatest sermon you ever preached was the forgive and forget one. But how do I do it? Shake the dust off your feet and move on. That's what Jesus did. And he sets the example. He shows us how to live at peace even in the midst of anguish and abuse and rejection and pain. And lesson number 5, those who reject Jesus lose so much. They weren't consumed by fire, the people in that village. But think about what they lost. They could have spent the whole night with Jesus. Jesus was willing to come and sit with them and talk with them and lead them towards God and be what he is right there with them. They could have spent the whole night with Jesus. How much would you give to have Jesus come and eat dinner with you tonight, sit in your living room and talk with you for a while, help you understand the things you can't understand about life? Wouldn't you like to have Jesus come and sit with you? Yeah. Yeah. And they gained so little by chasing him away. They got to cling to their precious prejudice. I mean, really? You could have Jesus, or you could have an excuse to hate somebody. They got so little and gave up so much. And you know what? That always happens when people reject Jesus. They think they're getting so much. But in truth, they're getting so little compared to what Jesus brings. And you know the truth. At the end of life, when they draw their last breath, they don't even get to keep what they kept to reject Jesus. They lose that too. Where the fact is, Jesus is all there is. He is the way to the Father, the only truth, and light, pure light itself. How much we lose when we turn Jesus away.